Please have a seat. We're going to hear God's word read to us now, and Pete Knightbridge is going to come and read it for us, and then Ed Shaw is going to come and teach that passage to us.
The reading today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, and that's on page 689 of the Church Bibles. Chapter 11, starting at verse 25 through to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Thanks, Pete. Do keep that reading open. I'm just going to rearrange. This a bit. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you'd use this part of your word to help us realize what solid rock Jesus is, and to stand on him, to rely on him more and more in our daily lives. We pray this in his name. Amen. What's making you weary at the moment? What burdens are you bearing this afternoon? Is it work? The amount of it at the moment, or the lack of it at the moment, and the stress that is causing you? Is it your family, that difficult phase that a child is going through, or worries about your parents, the sleepless nights that brings? Or is it yourself? Those patterns of thought that you can't change, or that way of behaving that you can't break free of however much you try, the frustration that you live with, the results. What's making you weary? What burdens are you carrying this afternoon? Well, whatever they are, whatever shape or form they come, Jesus says to you this afternoon, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Have you ever received a more attractive invitation than that? Go with whatever wearies you. Go with whatever burdens you to Jesus. And they will be exchanged for what he calls rest, his rest. Jesus here seemingly offers us an end to the stress, an end to those sleepless nights, an end to those frustrations that weary so many of us today. Take our burdens to him, says Jesus, and we will experience his rest instead. We will experience his peace. We will be calm. We will not worry anymore. Whatever life has thrown at us, will throw at us. Does this not qualify as one of the most extraordinary, one of the most incredible promises ever made? A promise of the rest that deep down we all long for. A whole new calm outlook on the troubles of life, made by one man, Jesus, to you and to me, and to the rest of the human race. Just look at those verses again. Look down at verse 28 again. Drink them in. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Incredible words. An amazing promise to me and to you this afternoon. But as I've been thinking about those words over the last week, as I've been seeking to drink them in, two questions have kept coming back to me. Two questions have kept bothering my rather cynical mind. And they're these. First of all, how can that be true? How can that be true? How can one man make such an amazing promise to me and to the rest of the human race? And then why isn't that true? I'm a Christian. Seek to follow Jesus? Why aren't I experiencing the rest, the lack of worry, the peace that seems to be talked about here? I kept asking myself, how can this really be true? Why? Why isn't this true in my life today? Those have been my questions. Rather selfishly, we're going to answer my questions today. First of all, how can that be true? How can these words be true? Many of us are probably wondering, especially if we're non-Christians here today, how can this one man Jesus claim to be able to deal with all that worries us, all our burdens? How can he be the source of the rest, the peace that humanity longs for? How can that be true? Well, in all of Matthew's Gospel up to this point, Jesus has been demonstrating time and time again his authority to say exactly this sort of thing. He's been proving himself, hasn't he, to be the Creator God's long-promised Saviour, saving King. The Christ, the Messiah God had promised would bring rest to the whole of creation. Each one of the miracles recorded in Matthew's Gospel, each one of the sermons recorded, have provided us, the readers, further evidence that Jesus is that King. Ticked off yet another Old Testament prophecy to reassure us that this guy is God's long-promised saving King, not just another man. And in the passage in front of us today, Jesus has made it clear that he is not just God's King. I mean, that would be good enough, wouldn't it? God's King. He also says in this passage that he's God's Son too. Look down at verse 27. Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The one who makes the incredible promises down in verses 28 to 30 is both God's King and God's Son. He's not just the one from whom God will restore this world. Incredibly, he's the one from whom God made this world, created this world in the very first place. And so when we ask the question, how can Jesus make this sort of promise? Well, he and he alone has the authority to make a promise as incredible as the one in front of us today. That all our weariness, all our burdens can be dealt with by him. Those words will be true because they come from Jesus. Jesus who is God's Son. Jesus who is God's King. Jesus who is the Creator and the Redeemer of the world. In case that wasn't enough, Jesus has been proving, hasn't he, his ability to keep this promise. He doesn't just sort of throw out verses 28 to 30 and say, yeah, I can do that. No, he's shown us that he can do that. His miracles have shown us that, haven't they? Time after time after time. If you're sitting there doubting that Jesus really has the ability to deal with your work or to solve that family problem, Or to change that situation you so struggle with in your personal life, well, Think about his miracles. Look at them. Remember them again. Those miracles recorded by an eyewitness, Matthew, in the book in front of us. The Jesus who heals a paralytic is more than able to provide you with the right amount of work. The Jesus who can raise a child from the dead is more than able to give you the wisdom you need to raise your child. The Jesus who can calm a raging storm just like that with one word is more than able to control and to change what goes on in your mind. He and he alone has the ability to stick to this incredible promise in front of us today, that all our weariness, all our burdens can be dealt with by him. These words can be, they are, they will be true because they come from Jesus. Jesus who has shown in history that everything, absolutely everything, is under his control. And wonderfully, Jesus hasn't just shown that he has the authority and the ability to do this. He's also wonderfully shown us again and again and again that he has the desire to do this as well. So he says down in verse 29 that he is gentle and humble in heart. And those aren't just words, are they? He's proved that time and time again. So just think back to how gently and humbly he dealt with the lepers of his day, touching the untouchable. Remember how gently and humbly he dealt with that woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, calling her his daughter, treating her as if she was his child. Jesus never suffered from sort of sympathy fatigue when he walked around this earth. No, he always had time for another weary person. He always had time to deal with someone else's burden. He and he alone has the constant desire to stick to this outrageous promise that all our weariness, that all our burdens can and will be dealt with by him. These words can and are and will be true because they come from Jesus, the source of all compassion, then and now. So think again about what is most wearying you at the moment. Think of the burdens that you, as it were, carried into this room this afternoon. Perhaps it is your work. Well, just remember his miracles. Recall them now. They show you, they prove to you, that Jesus is in charge of the universe. So he can arrange for you to have less work or more work, whatever you really need. He is in control. You can waste your time stressing about things that you have no control over, or you can go to him who has control over everything and experience his rest, his peace as a result. Perhaps the main thing worrying you is your family. Just remember his miracles. They show you that Jesus is able to change things. So he has the power to change your child or to help you with your parents. Whatever would be best for you and for them. He can change anything. You can lie awake at night, worrying about situations that you have no ability to change. Or you can entrust them to him who has proved that he has the power to change absolutely anything if he wills it and experience his rest, his peace as a result. Perhaps the main burden you carry is actually yourself. Well, you need to constantly remember those miracles. Remember the humility Remember the gentleness that Jesus always, always showed. He wants to show, and he will show, the same gentleness and humility to you. Whatever patterns of thought, whatever ways of behaving that you struggle with, he will help anyone. You can waste time sitting, being constantly frustrated by your failure to change. Or you can go to him, who not only has the ability, but a burning desire to help you. And you can experience his rest and his peace as a result. Look down again at verse 28. Recall what is wearying you. Think of the burden that you are carrying around at the moment. And hear Jesus speak these words into your life. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're right to be skeptical at one level about a promise like that, because no one else in human history could make that promise and keep that promise. But the Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus, can and will. He means those words, and he has proved that he means those words countless times, again and again, time after time in history. They can be true. They are true because they come from him. And so we can trust them. We can trust him. We can trust him with anything and with everything as a result. Great in theory, you might be thinking. But what about in practice? Why isn't that true? Why isn't that true in my life so often? Why hasn't that been true in your life over the last week? Why isn't that true? Why don't we experience that rest, that peace? It's a question that many of us who are Christians here today have probably been asking, isn't it? We've been thinking to ourselves, I do take my work, and I do take my family, and I do take my own life to Jesus, and yet I still experience stress. I still have those sleepless nights. I still have that nagging frustration rather than the rest that is so attractively offered to me here. Jesus, why isn't this true in my life? Why haven't we found the rest for our souls that you promise us here? Well, it's because we don't do all that Jesus asks us to do here. We do take our work and our family lives and our personal lives, we do take those to Jesus. As it were, we tick off verse 28. But I think we totally forget to do what he asks us to do down in verse 29. Look there with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We take things to Jesus, but we don't take up his yoke. We don't take up his sort of way of helping us to carry whatever our burden is, whatever wearies us. We don't accept his help to carry them best. We don't learn from him. We don't accept his advice that he's freely given us in his word about how to cope with that particular problem, how to deal with that particular issue. Now instead, what we do is we sort of take our burdens to him, and then we sort of have a conversation with him about them, but we sort of walk away still carrying them our own way. Still relying on our own strength, still following our own or other people's advice on how best to cope with them. And the result is that we tragically miss out on the rest, on the peace that is talked about here. And why is that? I mean, why are we so stupid? Well, we tend to think of ourselves as rather wise and learned people. We take our burdens to Jesus, and we spend quite a lot of time telling him what he needs to do with them, as if we knew what we were talking about. Rather than taking them to Jesus and asking him to do whatever needs to be done with them and with us. I think we've ignored the truth of what Jesus teaches down in verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for that was your good pleasure." Who are the people that God chooses to reveal himself to? Who are the people that God chooses to help? Well, not those like us who so often think we are quite wise and learned, who approach him with our own agenda, who want him to dance, as it were, to our tune, but those who believe, who behave like little children, who have realized, who are always conscious that we are totally and utterly dependent on him, that we are entirely in his hands. To grasp this, I want you to think for a moment of when you felt less stressed in life. I want you to think back to the time when you felt most at rest, most calm, most at peace, when you felt safe and secure. For many of us, that will be when we were little children. We were in a huge, a rowdy crowd at a football match, but we felt completely safe because our little hand was in the vice-like grip of our father's seemingly massive hand. We tripped over, we'd hurt ourselves, and the blood was pouring from our knees, but we were calm because we were embraced in our mother's arms. Why don't we experience that sort of lack of stress now, that sort of rest, that sort of peace, that sort of calm? Well, because we don't depend on Jesus as we did on our parents, back when we were little children, letting them help us carry things, carry us if necessary, learning everything from them, rather than trying to do our things ourselves, trusting them, depending on them completely. Do you want to experience the rest that Jesus offers you here today? Well, you need to behave like a totally dependent little child again. It is total trust, it is total dependence on Jesus that leads to the total rest that he is talking about here. So think again about what is wearying you today, the burdens that you carried into this room this afternoon. For you, it might be your work life. And the question for you is, are you really depending on Jesus at work? Have you taken his yoke upon you? Are you accepting his help to carry the burden of work? Put concretely, are you praying? Are you praying to him about those worryingly high levels of work or those worryingly low levels of work? Are you getting him to help you carry your burden in that way? Are you praying to him in a way that isn't forcing your agenda upon him, but just saying, "I depend on you, I need your help," trusting in him to provide? Are you learning from him? Are you hearing what Jesus has to say to you about stress and about worry? Have you heard what he teaches you in Matthew chapter 6 on those subjects? Are you seeking to obey it? Or are, to be honest, you still relying on your own wisdom or on other people's learning? If you don't start trusting in Jesus, if you don't start relying on him like a little child when it comes to your work, you won't experience his rest. You won't experience the peace, the calm that is talked about here. Your main burden may be your family life. And the question for you is, are you really depending on him? When it comes to bringing up your children, when it comes to looking after increasing your old parents, have you taken his yoke upon you? Are you asking him for his help to help you carry that burden? Put concretely, are you praying? Have you realized that the most beneficial thing that you can do for your children is to pray for them? That the best thing that you can do for your parents is to pray for them, knowing that fundamentally they are in Jesus' hands, not yours, and that his love and care for them is far greater than any love and care you have or ever will show for them. You can trust them to him as a result. Are you learning from him? Are you hearing what Jesus has to say to you about bringing up children in his word, about looking after your parents in his words? Are you following the principles he set out? Or, to be honest, are you still relying on your own wisdom and on other people's learning? If you don't start trusting in Jesus like a little child when it comes to your family, you won't ever experience the rest, the peace, the calm in the midst of the storm that he promises you here. You might be most weary just of yourself. Key question for you. Are you really depending on Jesus when it comes to your thinking, when it comes to your behavior? Have you taken his yoke upon you? Are you relying on him to help you carry the burden that is so often just yourself? Put concretely, are you praying? Are you daily praying about those patterns of thought, about those that way of behaving that you just can't escape from yourself, knowing that he and he alone has the power to change you? And that because his commitment to do that is unswerving, you can trust in him to do that, to help you. Are you learning from him? Are you reading what he has to say about how people change, how people like you can change and become more and more like him? Or, to be honest, are you still relying on your own wisdom, on other people's learning? If we don't start relying on Jesus like a little child when it comes to ourselves, we'll never experience the rest, the peace, the calm in the midst of the storm that is so often our lives that Jesus promises us here. All of which means that Jesus' incredible promise is dependent on one thing, on one thing. You and I becoming increasingly childlike, increasingly dependent on Jesus. And that's why it's great to be looking at this passage in the context of the baptism of a little child, of a baby. Benjamin Finley, who will be up here being baptized in a few minutes' time, is basically a living illustration of what we should all be doing. He's a perfect visual aid for us this afternoon. Benjamin is totally and utterly dependent on Tim and Lizzie, his parents, for everything at the moment, isn't he? Nothing he can do without them. He is learning everything from them. And he knows that. He lives in the light of that. And from that total dependence on them comes the rest that he experiences when he is in his parents' arms. Well, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, in my relationship with the Lord Jesus, I need to become more and more like Benjamin Finley, totally and utterly dependent. And so experience the rest that will come to me, that will come to you, when we realize, when we know that we are totally and utterly safe in Jesus' powerful, protective arms. This afternoon, King Jesus, the creator, the redeemer of the universe, opens his arms to people who know that they are needy children who need him more than anything else. And he says, come to me. come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you going to come like that to King Jesus today? If you do, you will find rest. You will find the rest that your soul longs for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need your help to take up this invitation and to be like little children, totally depending on you. You know how hard we find that. It's how we want to hold on to what we think is our own wisdom and learning. We pray that you would gently and humbly remind us day by day that we are but little children. And so be those that totally and utterly depend on you for everything. And Father God, we thank you for the certain promise that if we do that, our souls will find rest in you. Amen.
We're going to take a couple of minutes now to think over what we've heard. You might want to do that on your own, or you might want to do that in conversation with the person next to you. We thought we'd try something slightly new this week as well, which is you hopefully got one of these, a prayer card inside your service sheet as you came in. And on the back there, on this side, his question says, what struck you most about what you heard today? So why not take a moment as we think over things now to just write down the one thing that really struck you from what you've heard today, and you can keep that as a reminder of what that is. Take that to home group with you this evening as a reminder for discussion. So we'll take a few minutes, think things over now, and then it may be that you have a question that you're dying to put to Ed from what he said just now, and there'll be a chance to do that in a few minutes. So if you have got a question, write it down on the post-it notes that are on the table in front of you there, and in a minute I'll hand round this hat and we'll put those questions to Ed. Have a seat. Thank you for all the questions. There's quite a few, so if you don't get a chance to answer all of them now, then do come and grab Ed afterwards. But let's make a start. Ed.
Hello.
Hello. Where do we start? Okay, let's start with a quite a tough question. A question about some of what's going on, maybe around some of the verses that you focus particularly on. Some of what comes before this bit in Matthew's Gospel is to do with Jesus judging those who have rejected him. And then in verse kind of 25 to 27, Jesus talks about only those knowing the Father to whom he has revealed him. And the question is really, how can Jesus blame those earlier who have rejected him, when here he seems to be the one who is doing the revealing of God to people?
Well, it's because they don't behave like little children. So that, you know, that the reason why Jesus was condemning, denouncing the cities in last week's passage was because they were being wise and learned. They thought they knew who Jesus was. They thought they knew better than him. They were rather disappointed he didn't dance their tune. They weren't behaving like little children, saying, you are the Christ. We depend entirely on you. And we hear here that the people that, God reveals things to are little children. If they had behaved like little children, they would have worked out who Jesus was.
They weren't behaving like little children, so Christ wasn't revealed to them. This passage isn't saying to, you know, this passage is basically saying to us, behave like little children, depend on God, trust in him, and these things will be revealed to you. Don't behave like wise and learned people. Don't behave like the residents of Galilee who had their own agenda, who didn't depend on Jesus like little children, and so didn't have his identity revealed to them. So it's basically saying to us, not that this group of people, you know, won't have things revealed, a group of people that will. He's just saying to us, behave like little children, because that's who God reveals things to.
A couple of questions about what it means to have rest for our souls. Jesus promises rest for your soul. Is that different to rest for our bodies? What does it look like to have rest for our souls?
Jesus isn't saying, is he, very clearly throughout this passage, I'm going to take away all your problems. And he still talks about us having to have burdens and needing his yoke to help us carry burdens. So, you know, our lives will still be difficult. But rest for our souls is that sort of rest that in the middle of storms and in the middle of everything going on in our lives, we are trusting in him and we are dependent on him and we are at rest, at peace, calm, feeling safe and secure, all those sort of things, because we know that we're in his hands. And we know that he is so big, and anything that happens to us is under his control, and therefore we can trust in him and be calm and feel at peace, because whatever is happening to us is happening to us under the lordship of Jesus, and Jesus is with us in that situation. So, you know, think back to those times when you were holding on to your dad or your mum's hand, and everything was going wrong around you, but because they were there, it was all fine. You know, years later, you found out that things weren't that fine and they were as worried as you. But for you, you were just holding on. Everything was fine because mum or dad was there. That feeling of utter security, of calm, of peace, of no stress is the sort of feeling we're talking about. And it is the sort of thing God will give us if we depend on him like a little child depends on their parents. So rest for our souls, not rest from the troubles of life, but rest in the midst of those troubles, knowing that our hands are in Jesus' massive vice-like grip.
There's a question asking you to expand a little bit. You touched on what it is to bear the yoke that Jesus offers alongside this rest. There's a question asking you to expand two very different pictures. One offering rest, one offering work. Yoke as a picture of work. What's going on there with these two pictures? Could you expand a little bit?
Yeah, I think we traditionally, you know, yoke always it conjures up sort of negative images, doesn't it? Yoke, slavery, yoke, are you saying that I'm a cow? Sort of thing, because those are, you know, and that's, but actually here it's a positive thing. Actually, yokes are a good, I mean, imagine if you have got to take two buckets of water from a well a long way. Actually, somebody says, do you want to borrow my yoke? You go, yes, please, because a yoke actually makes it easier to carry two buckets of water. Put it on your shoulder, much easier. So I'm told by the commentaries, having never done it myself. But actually, they're a good thing. Yokes are good things. And here Jesus is saying, I'm a yoke, but it's a good yoke. I'm helping you carry things. This isn't a sort of negative thing. Jesus' yoke, you know, sort of making us slaves, treating us like cattle. No, it's Jesus giving us the help that we need to carry things, to carry burdens, to keep going in life. So it's a positive thing, a positive bit of imagery here, even if we don't necessarily think it is from our experience of yokes in other contexts.
Couple more questions I've got here, and then maybe I'll open it out to the floor, see if anyone wants to come back on any of Ed's answers so far. One question, is this passage really directed to us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, or is it directed more to non-Christians and the burden that they need rest from being sin?
Oh, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think it's an open invitation. It's an open invitation to those people who had rejected him in Galilee. It's not too late. Come to me. It's an open invitation to people here who have rejected Jesus in the past. It's not too late. You can come to him. It's an open invitation to non-Christians, and it's an open invitation to Christians too. You know, reminding us that we need to go to him and cast all our burdens on him, that he is dependable, and that's what we should be doing, depending on him. So I think it really is. When the all is all of us, the context, the people listening were both those who had rejected him and those who had trusted in him. And Jesus makes the appeal to all, and I think he makes the appeal to all of us here today.
I've got a couple more questions, but I'll try and roll into one. Before I do that, I don't know if anyone wants to come back who's had their question answered and wants to push out a little bit more on it, or with a comment on anything that Ed said so far. Anyone at all? I'll send Ed to you with the mic. Okay, let me have a go. There's a couple of questions I'll try and kind of roll into one because they're on the same kind of theme. And that's, the question really is, can we experience this rest even when that doesn't mean that particular situation that we're stressed or anxious about is resolved? Jesus doesn't necessarily step in and rectify the situation or improve it in the way that we would like. But can we still in that experience this rest? And what would that look like? And someone's mentioned as well, Paul, the Apostle Paul's experience of having a thorn in the flesh, as he calls it, and praying to God for that to be removed, and it wasn't. Was he experiencing this kind of rest in the midst of a situation which was otherwise making him anxious?
Yeah, so Paul was depending on God. He was taking that thorn in the flesh, wasn't he? Constantly to God in prayer, saying, God, I need your help with this. I need your help with this. Please take it away. So he was modeling that dependence. You know, Paul, who at one level might have had every reason for confidence in himself because he was an apostle and that sort of thing, is a wonderful model, isn't he, of childlike dependence. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. We should just be doing, you know, exactly the same. And that will sometimes be in situations where we go to God and say, please, please take this away. I want you to change this pattern of behavior. I want you to change this pattern of thinking. I want you to change this family circumstance. I want you to change this situation at work. And Jesus says to us, take my yoke upon me, rely on me, and I will help you bear that burden. I will help you keep going with those issues you deal with. I will help you keep going in that family situation. I will help you keep going at work. I'm with you. Put your hand in mine. You can trust me. I'm dependable. You need not fear in the midst of all those troubles because I'm with you. This is for your good and I'm never ever going to let you go. I am somebody you can totally and utterly depend on and who will help you through this situation. So yes, so often it won't be as it were the burden as it were being taken away completely. It will be Jesus getting alongside us saying, I'm going to help you carry it. Take my yoke upon you. And I'm going to speak my words into that situation to help you survive it. Learn from me. Learn from my words. Hear what my word says about how you keep going with me in difficult times. And together we're going to make it through if you depend on me.
And what's that going to really look like? What's that going to feel like for us in that situation?
Yeah. I think it's going to... that. You know, I don't want to... At one level, it's perhaps unhelpful for some of us who never felt that sort of... had never had a good relationship with parents, that can't remember those times when we could completely depend on our parents and felt completely safe. But if we can imagine what that's like, and if those of us have experienced that, can imagine what that was like, that knowledge that we could face anything because mum and dad were in the room or were with us, and there was nothing that was going to bother us because we were safe, because they were there. That feeling of utter confidence because they were there and they were looking after us and they could do anything. Now, that confidence would be misplaced when it came to our parents, as we soon discovered as we grew up. But with God, it's never misplaced. And that feeling of security and safety and that lack of stress we all experienced when we were children because they were there and they could do everything and we were safe with them is the sort of feeling of the Christian life, of being a little child, knowing that I am safe. Not safe because of my own abilities, but safe because surrounding me always are the strong and protective arms of Jesus. That's what it feels like. And what should it look like? Well, I love looking... I mean, I preached on a similar passage at my nephew's baptism, and I love looking at my nephew's too, and he's completely dependent on his parents. He's at that age, and I love just seeing how he constantly interacts with his parents. He's always looking, you know, he's always looking where they are, and he's always at ease when he sees that they're within... reach, and he rushes back to them if there's any trouble, and all that sort of behavior you see in young children, positive behavior you see in young children, is what we should be like. Danger comes in, they're back with mum and dad. They're worried about something, look over to mum and dad. All of those sort of patterns of behavior in a young child are what we should be doing, and the experience of being a young child is what we should be feeling, because we are little children in the arms of our sovereign Father God and his Son Jesus.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.